Well, I'm very happy to see all of you here today. How are you, everyone?
Doing
great.
Well.
Great.
Good. Well, we want to be happy because happiness is an important part of our lives. Isn't that true?
It is. Happiness is a very important emotion.
It is. And, you know, the people listening in, we hope that they'll feel happy, that they can join with us and people all over the world as we discuss a lifestyle article. I'm glad you're here today. We have several editors with us, part of our staff here, and we have Brandon. Brandon, what do you think of this lifestyle article on page 16 that we're going to talk about today?
Well, it makes me happy, Doris, of course, because we are talking about happiness. It's important to be happy, but it's not always easy to be happy. So I hope, listeners, as we take a look at this article, you'll find some points that are helpful for making you happy in your everyday life.
Well, it's too bad that we're not on TV because Brandon had a nice smile when he said that. And smiles always make us happy, don't they?
That's right. I hope you can hear it in my voice. You
That's
can
right.
kind of get the feel that I'm happy.
That's good. And then we have another one of our editors from our Studio Classroom magazine and who is in a lot of our TV shows on Let's Talk. And you know who that is?
Hello, everyone. This is Carolyn. I'm very glad to be on this lesson today. Very happy, you might say.
Well, Carolyn, what part do you play in Let's Talk?
I am Taylor.
She's Taylor in Let's Talk.
All right.
Anyway, you might recognize your voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course.
But we have a great time here in our Studio Classroom family where we have Let's Talk and Studio Classroom in Advance and all of you who've been listening in for years. And then we have one of our newer teachers with us today, Zach. How are you, Zach?
I'm doing well. Glad to be here.
Are you happy to be with all of us in Advance?
Of course. Happy to be here, happy to be learning, and ready to get into this article.
Well, good. So let's start then. It's on page 16, and it's called The Happiness Factor. What is a factor of something?
Well, a factor is a part of it.
Okay.
So here is sort of the thing that makes you happy. What factors into your happiness?
Don't you think everybody likes to be happy?
Yes, everyone, I think, wants to be happy.
But there's a lot of things about happiness that people don't realize. They don't realize what makes them happy. What are we going to look at today, Brandon?
Well, it's not what you think. We're talking about some myths and surprising truths about happiness. And a myth is something that is commonly believed, but it's actually a false idea. So hopefully after reading this article, maybe we will change the way we think about happiness.
Well, maybe we'll add to our happiness at least, don't
mm-hmm.
you think? So all of you listening in today, and you can open your magazines, page 16, and find out what makes you happy. It might not be what you think. Let's read the first column.
The Happiness Factor. A look at some myths and surprising truths about happiness. What makes you happy? Not what you think. According to popular belief, you will be happy when... insert career, marriage, expectation here. And if that doesn't do the job, you'll absolutely be ecstatic when you have kids, buy a home. Regardless, there's no doubt if insert bad thing, divorce, a health crisis happens instead, you will be flat out miserable. That's pretty standard internal chatter for a lot of us, parroting culturally dictated preconceived notions about the keys to personal paradise. But are we really just victims of circumstance? Maybe not. Research in the growing field of positive psychology, empirical studies of positive experiences and relationships, suggests that our levels of underlying joy depend more on how we react to situations, be they good or bad, than on the situations themselves. These things, marriage, family, wealth, do make people happy. But the effect is often not as long-lasting as people expect. And when the thrill wears off and life gets back to everyday experiences, we think there's something wrong, says Sonia Lyubomirsky, psychology professor and author of the new book, The Myths of Happiness.
Well, according to all of the popular beliefs, when you finish your schooling, you'd be happy. Don't you think so? Oh, you'd be it. Oh, I'm happy. Does that make you happy?
Well, you certainly feel accomplished. You've reached a goal that you had set out to achieve, and that can make you happy for a short time, especially if you have trouble finding a job after graduation.
Well, what about your career? If you say, now I'm in the kind of job I like, that should make me happy.
Yeah, and I think it will in the beginning, but I think a key point of this is what Carolyn just said, for a moment, right? And so happiness can be there for a moment, but then something bad happens and you're not happy anymore.
Well, and we see all these people, when they get married, the first thing is, I'm going to be happy, that person's going to make me happy all my life. And yet there's about 40 or 50% of people that get divorced, so they're not happy anymore. Mm-hmm. So there's something wrong with that idea. You know, oh, when I get married, I'll be happy. Yeah, for a while, but, you know, there's other things involved, isn't that right?
There is a lot of other things involved. When you get married, there are a lot of changes, a lot of adjustments that have to be made, and those can make you unhappy.
Well, because that's because you don't have kids, because you have to be ecstatic when you have kids. Well, then you're going to be happy, but you might be more tired waking up in the night taking care of them.
Yeah,
the idea of having a baby is great, but once you start taking care of them, it's something else, isn't it?
Very little sleep, yes.
Well, but what about you when you buy your own home? Now I have my own home. I'm going to be happy. Does that always work?
No. I think eventually you'll be looking for the next thing to make you happy.
That's true. So you can insert all kinds of things that will make you happy. Or it says you can put bad things in that make you unhappy, like divorce and you're sick and all this kind of stuff. Then you will be completely flat out miserable. What are we going to do? This is a very important article.
It is. And I think that this opening paragraph makes a really good point that your circumstances don't determine your happiness. Because I know people who have lots of health problems, they've suffered so many setbacks and downfalls, and yet they have not lost their joy. They are very happy people, regardless of what happens.
Well, and I've seen people who have so much money. They have houses in New York and Tokyo and all Shanghai and every place, and they don't seem very happy. Mm-hmm. And I don't even have one house, but I'm very happy.
Yeah.
So it's not more things. The more things they have, they worry about it. They have to take care of it, have to pay the taxes. Somebody might rob them. So it doesn't mean that you have a lot of things you're going to be happy. Isn't that true, Brandon?
That's right. It's your perspective on life. Mm-hmm. And if we base things on our feelings, we can often be unhappy because we don't feel good about something. So we have to look beyond that.
Well, we certainly don't want to be miserable, because if you're miserable, then you think life's not worth living. So let's find out. Now, it says in the second paragraph, there's plenty of standard internal chatter for a lot of us, parroting culturally dictated preconceived notions. Now, that's very hard sense. I think I'm going to ask you to take
that. Okay, let's go after this. At first, it talks about internal chatter. That's what you hear inside. We talk about chatter, that's talking. So we kind of talk to ourselves, in a sense. And then we parrot things. We think of, you know, the bird, the parrot. You repeat exactly what someone says. So here they're also talking about these preconceived notions, these ideas that come from society. So basically, we hear things in society, and then we think about that, we meditate on that, and then we maybe act on what we hear in society. And these have to do with these preconceived notions, Carolyn.
Right. And if something is preconceived, that means that you think about it and you make a decision on something before you really have enough information to make that decision. So you have a preconceived notion, which means the idea is probably not fully formed, or it's even wrong.
You thought about it might be this way, but maybe it won't.
Right.
Well, I like this idea of this parroting the culturally things, too, because not only do people tell you this, oh, you'll be happy when you get married, you'll be happy when you graduate, but advertising, oh my goodness, they're always telling you, you're going to be happy when you buy this car. You're going to be, and I think advertising affects a lot of people. Don't you think so, Zach?
Sure, absolutely. And I think a lot of people will often just, based on circumstances,
Yeah, all kinds of things that happen to them. They think they're going to be happy or unhappy depending on those, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely.
Right,
yeah.
And if you live your life like that, it's like a roller coaster going up and down, and it's not satisfying.
And we talk about those circumstances. We can see here, right on line 13, victims of circumstance. That means that, oh, all of your problems are because of your circumstances. You are a victim because of what is happening around you.
Right.
And there's nothing you can do.
That's true.
But the lesson here, the article here, says maybe not. Maybe
hope.
This idea.
There's some hope.
That's
yeah.
Right.
What does the research tell us about that?
Well, it says that in the growing field of positive psychology, so that's not something, Doris, I have really heard of, that term positive psychology, but it's a scientific approach to uncovering what makes life worth living, and so this is a field of research.
What are empirical studies, anyway?
Well, that has to do with scientific testing and also maybe practical experience versus just ideas. So it's not the theoretical. We talk about something being done in theory. No, this is talking about actual scientific study.
So it's not really just you say, oh, I'm happy, but there are things that are underlying that we don't see. And it's not really what happens. They found out that that's not always the truth. What the truth is, not what happens, but, and I underlined this myself, how we react to things. So there could be something that happens, but how do we react?
And I've seen this so many times, Doris. I've seen something happen to one person, and they react one way in a very negative way, and the same thing can happen to someone else, and they don't have the same reaction. So I think that is key, how we react. We all have bad things happening to us, but how do we react to that?
That's true. You know, like we lost a lot of things in one of the floods, and then everybody said, what are we going to do? And I said, well, we're alive, so look at the happy part. See, you can look at the bright side or the bad side. So look at the bright side of things. It's important, isn't it?
That's right, your mindset, your perspective on life.
Mm-hmm. So this is really very interesting because it's how you react to something. And sometimes, like, even if you're married and your husband gets angry at you, how you react? You can say, well, I love you anyway. Or you can say, well, yeah, I didn't know you were this way. So how you react makes it whether your marriage is happy, don't you think?
Right, which I think is why so many people might end their relationships with divorce, right? They get that divorce because they don't know how to respond.
That's right. And this is true in your job. Maybe your job is good. You like your job, but you don't like your supervisor. So I'm going to quit because I don't like my supervisor. But you like your job.
Right.
So you need to think about things, how you react. Maybe you need to understand your supervisor better or talk to him and not quit your job. Maybe it's not that. So find out what the underlying things are. Don't you think that's important?
Very important. I think it's just a great insight from this article that is just reminding us that you always do have a choice in your reaction. You might not have a choice in your circumstances, but we do have a choice in how we react and the perspectives that we have over our circumstances.
That's true. And you know, it says here that in line 20, but these things like marriage or your family and wealth, yeah, if you have enough money, it's good, and have a happy marriage, good family, yeah, they make people happy. But it doesn't always last forever. Today you're happy, and tomorrow you're mad at your family or your husband or something, you know? And so these are not long-lasting things because the thrill of it wears off.
That's right, and sometimes we say the newness wears off, and I can so relate to this. Maybe you have something new, maybe you buy something new, you have a new job, but after a few weeks, after the honeymoon period, you know, things come back to like real life. And so what will your happiness be, you know, founded in then? So I think the point is we have to find out what our happiness really lies in and not put it in all these things or not even base it on people. Those aren't good ways to have long lasting happiness.
So that's one thing we're going to find out, because there's this book called The Myths of Happiness, the untruths, the things that are not true, they're just stories. Why we think this is going to make us happy, why doesn't it? So that's what we're going to look at. Isn't that an interesting subject?
It is an interesting subject, and I think that we can learn a lot from it, that it really isn't our circumstances that determine whether or not we're happy. It's ourselves. Mm-hmm. We have to decide.
But most of the time when people are unhappy, they always say, because he did this to me, or she did that, or I don't have any money. And usually we look at all these other things instead of saying it's our own choice. Don't you think so?
Right, yeah. We want other people to make us happy, and when they don't, we're not happy. And so that's why we should not do that. We can find that happiness within ourselves.
So there's a whole book on that. This could be a good book, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
The happiness, the myths of happiness. So happiness is something inside of us, and we're going to read a little bit more about that, and it will be good for you. If you don't feel happy today, by the time you're through with this article, I think you'll find out that you too can be happy, no matter where you are. We have people 90 years old in New York listening to our programs in retirement homes, but they're happy because they can still read Studio Classroom in advance. Mm-hmm. And we have people who are just young people in school that are having a hard time, that are 15 years old, but they can be happy. So all of you listening into Advance today, remember, you can be happy. Let's find out more about happiness within and read the rest of today's article.
Happiness is within. In her book, Lyuba Mirsky argues that myths about what will make us forever happy, unhappy lead to a restricted black-and-white view of life and prevent us from recognizing the upside of any negative life turn. Perhaps a layoff spurs someone to try a more interesting career, or a health problem brings a deeper appreciation of family. While some of these major challenges will definitively and permanently change our lives for better or for worse, it is really our responses to them that govern their repercussions, she said. It sounds cliche, but happiness to a large extent resides inside us, and once we know that, we can take advantage of it. Certainly, if we're in bad relationships, if we're poor and we don't have basic needs met, we're gonna be unhappy, she said. But for others in average circumstances, happiness can often be a matter of mindset.
Well, do you think that happiness is something within us that don't you think other people should make you happy?
Well, I have found that other people cannot make you happy because people aren't perfect. Mm-hmm. They're always going to disappoint you, and happiness is something that you need to decide to feel. You need to decide to have. And one way you can just very simply make yourself feel happier is smile. Just start smiling, and you will feel happier, and it may help other people around you feel happier because they'll want to smile too. Smiling is a very friendly way to spread happiness.
That's true. And, you know, they say look at the bright side of life, be positive instead of negative. Looking at the good side of things will help, won't it?
That's right. And one way to do that is to be thankful. You know, what are all the things you have in front of you right now? You have life. And you've been given many things, so be thankful for that, and that will help you to be happy.
Right. Well, in this book, now, you know, the people have these strange last names. How do you say this name? Liborsky or whoever she is. It sounds like a Russian or Polish name to me. But they agree that these myths about what will make us happy or unhappy, if we're always going by those kind of things, we'll have kind of a very restricted black and white view of life. You know, I often think about some people, they're like, just saying, oh, well, this is life. I just have to get it. But other people have what we call colored ties, like TV is in color. Mm-hmm. I don't like black and white TV, but color TV. So your life can be that one way or the other. And we don't want a black and white life, do we?
Well, and here we're talking about black and white life. And, you know, sometimes when we talk about this term, we're talking about morals, what is right and wrong. And here I think it's talking more about maybe what
colorful
is good and bad.
Yeah.
And so if you have a black and white view of life, I think it's a very strict view. You think this is good, this is bad, this is the way things should be, and that's it. There's no room for change. There's no gray area, so to speak.
Well, it says here in line 9, the second column, that we have to recognize the upside of a negative life turn. In other words, look at the good points. Be positive. not negative. Don't you think that's important?
It's so important. And I think with the black and white view, under that view, often we tend to limit ourselves and our capabilities, whereas when you're happy and you're looking to the positive side despite your circumstances, you're able to actually understand what you're capable of doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one thing that people say if they get laid off their job, sometimes nowadays the economy isn't very good and they have to lay off. You read that some company laid off 100 people and, oh my goodness, you know, and you think that's terrible. But then look at this, the good side of it. Maybe you get a more interesting career or move to another country or something else. So don't just say, oh, that's so terrible.
Yeah, so there are opportunities often in these negative circumstances. And the next example they give is a health problem that maybe brings a deeper appreciation for family. And I know someone who's experienced this firsthand, where their father had this terrible terminal illness and they expected him to live for 1 year. And it was just absolutely horrible. He didn't get along with anyone, but he actually lived 10 years instead of one. And during those remaining 9 years, after he realized that he did have more time with his family, their relationships grew and blossomed, and they were able to really strengthen their bond as a family.
Well, I think health problems are very difficult. So many people have cancer and all these kind of things, and you hear, oh, you've got cancer, and then all of a sudden everything is terrible again, and we don't like to hear that. But if we can think about anything good about it, it's hard to, but say, how are we going to get through this together? Right. And being more positive will help people get their health better, won't it?
That's right, and you can focus on your family more. It hopefully will make you thankful for your family. Even when we have minor health problems, like a cold or something, we realize, oh, it's really nice to be healthy, and that causes us hopefully to be thankful for good health.
Well, it does say that some of these major challenges like that will definitely and permanently change our lives. I mean, if something's going to happen, you're going to have something, but what is our response to this? And this is the hard part.
Right, so we have to decide how our responses will govern the repercussions, whether it will be good or bad, for better or for worse. And a repercussion is just the effect that an action or a decision has in the end. What is the result?
Right. Well, it does sound like a cliche. Oh, look at the bright side of things. Just people just say that. It's just like a saying. Mm-hmm. But it's more than that, because to a large extent, this lies or lives within us. Isn't that right?
That's right. And once we know that, we can take advantage of it. So don't look for happiness in other people, for other people to make you happy. Look into yourself.
Well, what about people who are in bad relationships? What can happen to them? You know, they don't have enough money. And so they're just going to be unhappy, right?
Right, their basic needs aren't met, and so it's hard to be happy in that sort of situation.
But you can look at the bright side of it. You say, well, can't get any worse, you know, that kind of thing.
Right, yeah. If you aren't having basic needs met or you are in a very bad situation, it's very understandable to be unhappy. You're going to be unhappy. But you can try to see the bright side. You can look for good in the bad, because it probably is there.
Well, sometimes just seeing about how bad people are, if you look in your magazine, we're going to study about people in another country later on who are much worse off, and that makes me feel, well, it's not so bad. Right. So I think when we see what we do have, that really is, makes us happy too, doesn't it?
Right. We feel that we are blessed, and, you know, if we're able to have food to eat and water to drink, you know, that's something we can be thankful for.
So happiness can be a mindset. So there are certain things that we can do the way we think about them. We can become lonely if we think about it, oh, I'm not near my friends, and they moved away, and you can say, look at, I've got new friends. So your own mindset can have something to do with it, can't it?
Absolutely, Doris. So much of just how we perceive things just comes from our mind. And it's a decision, I think, and that's a great insight that the author points out.
That's true. I think it's very important for us to have a good mindset, to have a positive attitude.
Right, and we can see things as a challenge, and we can see, well, what can I learn from this, and what good can I see in this difficult and challenging situation?
And I think, too, that maybe it's already been mentioned today, but just that it's also when you decide to be happy and to take that step towards it, it's also contagious. Mm-hmm. Like Carolyn said, smile. And, yeah, you're not basing your happiness based on your necessarily other people or relationships, but it is contagious. Yeah.
I think so. I think this is very important, and we're going to look at more of these because happiness is something that we all want. This is why we try to succeed so we can be happy. We certainly want to live happy lives. So let's look at this again when you come back tomorrow. Will you all be here with us?
Yes.
And if you're listening in today, you be sure and join us tomorrow as we go into the part two of this. And be happy today. Smile at someone. Be positive. Okay? See you then tomorrow.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.